All right, am I on your way, Mirzy?
Okay.
Let's go ahead and get started. Always neat to have that when you sit around, you can hear from Yahweh and hear different things, and you can that absolutely just hits right towards me when you hear that. You're like, man, that is great. That is exactly what I need to hear. So perfect. Let's get started here. A couple of quotes here. I'm going to do a short sharing here tonight. Only hope for this or any other society is to hear the word of Lord and obey. And like going timeless. It doesn't matter at what point we're in or anything else. And next one is Old English proverb, darkest hours are just before dawn. And I always think about that. There's a lot of times where we're, you know, who was it that had the prophecy about you, Aaron, being in a rut? Okay? And I think about that. When you get into a rut, sometimes it seems like that you're in for longer. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. I need to rescue. Somebody help. Yeah. Pull me out. You know, and it seems like it takes forever. You know, I think about that with the all the scriptures where you look through where it came when it was least possible chance. And so I'm like going, okay, this is it. So for us, it's to endure. So this is kind of going to be sharing about endurance. And to start with, we're going to look at here, hope for those in the wasteland. Okay? So for there have closed in upon me misfortunes beyond number. Mine iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They have become more than the hairs of my head, and my courage hath forsaken me. Be pleased, O Yahweh, to rescue me, O Yahweh, to help me make haste. Okay? And so I love that. I'm like, when this is, we're going to share, the big teaching we're going to do tonight, we're sharing, is going to be on Isaiah 35. Okay, and so Isaiah 35 is kind of a unique 10 verses that are all put together right in the middle of something. And I'm like, well, what's so neat about Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is how much prophetic stuff for so far in advance and some that still has not taken place. And you're like going, man, this is incredible. So the whole book, I've been doing a little bit of study through Isaiah, and it is just blows me away. And you're like going, yeah, you can look at this has come true, this is going to come true. Then you see it in Revelations, you know, thousands of years later, that the same prophecies are right in line with Isaiah. Right in line. You're like, oh, man, this is great. So let's start off here, not in Isaiah, but in Psalms 40. And you see the page there is 548. And who would like to read that for me? Verses 1 through 5.
I will.
Okay, thank you, sweetheart. Page 548.
1 through 5?
Yes, please.
I waited patiently for Yahweh. He inclined unto me and heard my cry for help. So he brought me up out of the destroying pit, out of the swamping mire, and set upon the cliff my feet. They confirm my steps. Then put he into my mouth a new song. Praise to our Yahweh. Many shall see and reverend, and shall trust in Yahweh. How happy the man who hath made Yahweh his confidence, who hath not turned to the haughty, nor gone aside unto falsehood. Mighty things hast thou done, though Yahweh my God. Thy wonderful doings and thy purpose toward us. There is no saying them in order to thee. I could tell and could speak, and they are great to rehearse.
They're too great to rehearse. That's exactly it. Okay, and so the one we just saw is later in verse 40, or in chapter 40. Okay, and so as we read through this, it's the whole sharing here for this that I did for Isaiah 30 is wrapping around when a person is in the wilderness or in a desert, okay? And it's kind of neat as you go through there and you do the studies of this. Wilderness and parched land, okay, denotes properly a dry place, obviously. Places without springs, streams of water, such places produce no verdure, which would be like forests, yeah, you know, any kind of green areas, you know, that's a plush green area. Nothing to sustain life. The word comes to mean a desert, obviously. Often used in the scriptures to express moral or spiritual desolation. Okay, and so I think everybody at some point in their life feels like, yeah, I was out in the wilderness, or I was out in the desert at a point in time in my life, and I was outside of where Yahweh wanted me to be. I was not where I needed to be. Okay, moral wilderness, okay, aptly expresses the condition of the world that has been benefited by the blessings foretold in Isaiah 35. And that's what we're going to look at. So this is going to be from the desert to glory is what I'm kind of referring this to. Because the desert being the wasteland, it's calling back to get a person out of the desert back to the glory of Yahweh. And sometimes Yahweh will walk us through a place that we need to go through where we may feel like we're in the desert. I mean, you're teaching. Here he is in the prison, you know, surrounded by people thinking, what's going on? I'm in the right place. Even though it doesn't seem like the right place, I am in the right place. And so for us, that's the way we have to look at it too. Sometimes our surroundings may not match, but if we're walking by the Spirit, we're okay. We're doing good. So this chapter, it's not only a template for history. You can take that and say, this is a template for my life, or this portion of my life, for me to look at and to give hope and to bring a blessing. So let's start off here. We're going to actually start a little bit before. Go to page 678. Hold on, I'm almost there. 34, 16, and 17. Who would like to read that for me?
I will.
Okay. Thank you.
Seek ye out the scroll of Yahweh, and read not one from among them. Is lacking. None hath missed her mate. For a month hath itself commanded, and his spirit hath itself gathered them. Yea, he himself have cast for them a lot, and his own hand have given them a portion by line.
They were measuring line, yeah, go ahead.
Unto times they divided, shall they possess it. Generation after generation shall they dwell therein.
They're excellent. Okay, so that kind of, I like that, because going into 35, like when this kind of grabs it, and I love that, seek ye out the scroll of Yahweh and read. Not from among you them is lacking. I'm like going, so what does that say about the Word? People who are in the Word and obeying and doing the Word are not going to be lacking. Even though they may feel like they're in a desert at some point, they're not going to be lacking. Yahweh will be able to meet them and meet their needs. Starting point. Okay, here's what we're looking at. The desert. Isaiah 35:1. Don't have to go far. Okay, I'm going to read the first one here. Okay, and you see this, the invasion of the king of Assyria. So as we're looking at this, as we're going through, this has prophetic meaning as well as that we look at 35, I'm sorry, that was 36, top page here. Wilderness and parched land shall be glad for them, and the waste plain shall exalt and blossom as a lily. It shall blossom abundantly and exalt, yea, with exultation and shouts of triumph. The glory of Lebanon hath been given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Yahweh, the splendor of our Elohim. Okay, so here's where it starts off when we're looking at this. So we're talking about, right here, all of it in verse 1, it talks about that parched land. We're going from desert to glory. To start with on here, as I'm going through this, the points that I put together for this, there's got to be a thirst, okay? And I always think about that. Yahweh gave us a thirst for food, or for fluids, water, and a hunger for food, and by intent. You know, I think to myself, we could have been created. You look at crocodiles, for example. I watched a show on crocodiles, and the wildebeest will migrate through this one little channel once a year, and the crocodiles will be waiting there for them. And they say that a crocodile can eat one wildebeest and then wait until the next migration a year later and can survive off that. Okay, I'm like going, that kind of, it's a bummer. I guess I know why they're so hungry by that time. So I think to myself, well, Yahweh, why is it that we have to eat every day multiple times? Couldn't we have been made to where, you know, we just just gorge ourselves and it lasts us for a week? And I think Yahweh did this in purpose to us. It's a humbling thing, and it drives us to look for these things and to be working, to be continually working. And so I think that there's got to be a thirst. A thirst has to be also for the Word.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to deliver to the Word to anybody who does not have it. Now, you may try to give them the thirst. You know, I think about those 7-Up commercials with the ice dropping down and a hot day and then it pours in, you can hear it all and you can feel it splashing on you almost. Okay, you can help generate a thirst, but until somebody has a thirst, it's not going to do anything. So whosoever drinketh this water will thirst again, but whosoever shall drink of the water which I will give him in no wise shall thirst unto time's age abiding, but the water which I will give him shall become within him a fountain of water springing up unto life age abiding. Again, that's John 4. Okay, Yahweh will bring forth. This is a cool place here. I found this picture here when I was preparing for this. This is a desert in Peru. And this is exactly what I'm looking at here. You see all around the outside of it's green, beautiful little setting there out in the middle of nowhere. It's like a desert oasis. You're like going, man, how cool is that? And I look in the picture and there's only a couple cars in there. I'm like going, man, that'd be awesome. That would be absolutely awesome. Obviously spring-fed, a spring-fed thing. So, second point, okay, the first one is, we're looking at the desert coming out. Prepare the people. We're preparing the people. So let's go. Who will read 2 through 7 for me? Elijah, I think you were next on the list, weren't you?
2 through 7?
Yep.
Okay.
35?
Okay, I can't find.
It's hard to see where it starts.
I only see one.
It starts. I may have read 2. And I'm sorry if I did. Just start on 3. Just start on verse 3.
I found it.
Okay.
It shall blossom abundantly and exult, yea, with exultation and shouts of triumph. The glory of Lebanon hath been given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of Yahweh, the splendor of our Elohim. Strengthen, ye our weak hands, ye the weak hands. The trembling knees make ye firm. Say to the hurried in heart, be strong, do not fear. Lo, your Elohim with avenging doth come, with the recompense of Yahweh. He doth come to save you. Then shall be opened the eyes of the blind, and the ears of the deaf be unstopped. Then shall leap as a hart the lame. Then shall shout the tongue of the dumb, for they have broken forth in the desert waters and streams in the waste plain. Then shall the glowing sand become a lake, and thirsty ground springs of water, and the home of the wild dog and slayer shall be enclosure for cane and paper reed.
That's it. And the cane and paper reed there, what we're referring to is referring to all the vegetation, stuff that grows around it. The wild dog is a couple different translations. Jackal is normally what is used for that. And so it's talking about coming from the parched land out. And so for the healings, what we're looking at in here is we're talking about a couple things. The eyes being open, the deaf being able to hear, the lame being able to leap. Whether these people are, you know, whether it's something that breaks through for somebody who just never had the thirst for Yahweh, or it's a literal blind person, we're looking at this as like an awakening, an opening up, something to come, something that's there. And all these things, do we have those right now that are available to us? Absolutely, we do. We have those things. And so that's where I look at it. The path. Yahweh provides a way. And so it's one of the things I always, you know, when you read about it, that there's Yahweh's always going to give you a direction. He's going to guide you. There is a path. If we go to Yahweh, He's going to tell us, okay, here's where to go. Now, you may only get one or two steps at a time, or you may get one point at a time where you'd be, I want the whole thing. Show me where I'm going. I want to map it out from start to finish. Yahweh's like, well, I'm not going to do that because this is going to be an odd trip. And you're going to have some, you know, some side stops here and there that are intentional by design. And so let's keep if you have a ribbon here, pull one on. And we'll be back. Flip over a couple pages here to 40. And who would like to read 3 through 5 for me of chapter 40? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
You got it? 40, verse 3.
The voice of one crying in the desert, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make smooth in the wasteland a highway for our Yahweh.
So, who else said that?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist did. Yeah. That's exactly right. Prepare your way. Prepare your way. A voice of one crying where? In the desert. Okay, from the desert. Prepare you the way of Yahweh. In other words, make this, the glory is coming. We are looking from desert to glory. Okay, and John the Baptist said this as well. He said the same thing. And so when we look at this, we're looking for the path. And sometimes that path is going to be from a desert. Sometimes we put ourselves in a desert, okay, by falling out of the Word, falling out of obedience. Okay, and all of a sudden we find ourselves that we're in our own desert and we put ourselves in there. And Yahweh's still saying, hey, I can help you. I'll show you the way out. I'll get you out if we do it. Other times we're going to be just, this is our walk. This is our path that we're going on. Holiness, though, is the path between Yahweh and glory. And so when we're coming from the desert to the glory, the path is holiness. That's it. Okay? And it's not my words. Okay? Let's go back to 35. My ribbon didn't stay and it fell out. Okay. Back a couple pages here. 35, I'll read 8 and 9. Okay? Verse 8. And there shall be there a raised way, even a high road, and the high road of holiness shall it be called. There shall not pass over it one who is unclean, but he himself shall be one of them traveling the road. And the perverse shall not stray thereunto. There shall be there no lion, nor shall ravenous beasts go up thereon. It shall not be found there. Thus shall travel the redeemed. Okay? Sorry, I'm having a hard time reading that for some reason. My eyes are giving me a little bit of grief. Okay, again, we're going to come back just to verse 10, but we're going to finish there. If you switch, flip over to Hebrews, and that's going to be a ways back here to the right, page 232. Let me hit the thing. 232. Melania, you want to read this one for me?
Sure.
Chapter 12, 11 through 15.
Oh, 12.
All right. But now discipline. Oh. But no discipline for the present indeed seemeth to be of joy, but of sorrow. Afterwards, however, to them who thereby have been well trained, it yieldeth peaceful fruit of righteousness. Wherefore he slacketh hands and paralyzed knees restored ye, and straight tracks be making for your feet, that the lame member may not be dislocated, but healed rather. Peace be pursuing with all and obtain holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord, using oversight lest anyone be falling behind from the favor of the Elohim, lest any root of bitterness spring up above, be causing trouble, and through it the many be defiled, lest there be any fornication.
That's good. That's good. So that's it. So that's what we're looking at there. And obtaining holiness with which no one shall see the Lord. So the path is the holiness. So again, when we're looking at that, it's a correction. So when we're looking at this in the Old Testament and we're going through there, what's happening? The people became unholy. Okay, they had sacrificed. They had committed adultery against Yahweh. And Yahweh ransomed, sold them out. Okay. You're on your own. Do your own thing. And guess what? By virtue of that, you're going to be exiled out and you're going to lose it. And so they're lost now. They're gone. And then there's a coming back. And so I think of all the times where that happened, where throughout the Old Testament, where you see that, where it's a coming back. They put themselves in the desert, okay, as a group. And then what's the road back? The road back is the holiness, and it's to repent and to come back to Yahweh. And so this was one of the things there. The holiness was it. The glory. Go back for the last one here. Chapter 35. Okay, and I will read it, just verse 10 of 35, page 679. The ransomed of Yahweh shall return and shall enter Zion with shouting. with gladness, age abiding upon their head. Joy and gladness shall overtake them, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And I love that. This is kind of the... This is it right here, okay? So, rena is the word for the shouting. And it's kind of... the reason I put this on there is because when you do the word study, it doesn't really, I think, give it the significance when you think of shouting, you know? Shouting can be a whole bunch of different things, but when you look at that, a ringing cry, an entreaty or supplication of joy and praise, you know, when you see the crying, proclamation, gladness, and so it gives it a lot of meaning there with the shouting. That this is a good time. This is a great time here for that in Zion with the shouting. Okay, we are done here with this one, so you don't have to keep your ribbon there. Go to Titus though, page 221.
We'll go to Titus very often.
No, we don't. Small book. I was doing a little trivia thing the other day, and it was pretty tough. And it was which one is incorrect, and it would show books of the Bible and how many chapters. And there's a lot of really small chapters in the New Testament, and you'd be like going, and like Titus was one of them, and it said four, you know, it'd be chapter 4, verse blah blah blah, and I'm like going, oh man, that's it. I didn't know that though, because I was going through. I'm like going, all right. So again, it's a. To know it, but the Titus, not a very common book to go to, but let's hear, I'll read 3 through 8 of chapter, well, let's start on 14 of chapter 2, okay, and I'll read this here, it's a little bit longer here. Starting in 14 of chapter 2, who gave himself up on our behalf, that he might redeem us from all manner of lawlessness and purify for himself a people as his own treasure, zealous of noble works or honorable works. As to these things, be speaking, exhorting, and reproving with all manner of precept. Let no one disregard thee. Be putting them in mind unto rulerships, unto authorities, to be in submission to the yielding of rule. For every good work to be prepared, to be defaming no one, to be averse to strife. It's an unusual word. What's another one for that, Wendy?
Averse.
Okay, it's not a common word there. Averse to strife, considerate, showing all meekness unto all men. For even we used at one time to be thoughtless, unyielding, deceiving, in servitude unto manifold covetings and pleasures, in malice and envy, leading on detestable, hating one another. But when the graciousness and affection for man of our Savior Elohim shone forth, our Savior Yahweh shone forth, not by works which we had done in the righteousness, but according to his hased, he saved us through means of the bathing of a new birth, okay, a second birth, or born from above, and molding a new of Holy Spirit, which he poured on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, in order that having been declared righteous by his favor, we should be made inheritors according to the hope age life of life age abiding. Faithful to saying, and concerning these things, I am minded that thou be strongly affirming, in order that they who have believed Yahweh may be careful to be forward in noble works. These things are honorable and profitable unto men. Okay? And this is it. So as we go through here, it's the chapter 35, 10 verses. Okay, of Isaiah, but the path through. And so it shows it. It's a simple, hey, here's a quick guide that you can overlay from the old times of the Old Testament all the way through our lives as well. So as I look at this, I think to myself, consider all that Yahweh did for the people that he led out of the desert. And I mean literally led out of the desert. Okay, Joseph and Israel. And why? He took it and saved them by bringing them to Egypt and feeding them in Egypt because of the famine. And what happened? Brought them out of Egypt after that. Brought them out of Egypt, a desert for 40 years, returning to the promised land after exile. This is always for Yahweh. It's from taking from the wasteland to the glory, okay, and for his purpose. consider the times that Yahweh's done this for you. So as I put this together, I started reminiscing. I'm like going, man, all the times that I forget about. And so how many times in the Word, when you go through there, you read where Yahweh reminded them what he did for them in Egypt? Over and over and over again. And I think to myself, well, that should have been just common knowledge. But a lot of times it's like going back over that. And think about that for yourself. What Yahweh's done for you will led you out of the desert back to his glory. As you think about those things, it will spark things to you for almost a desire, that thirst for righteousness to Yahweh. And you're like going, God, I didn't deserve it, but thank you, Yahweh. You did this for me. Wow, you know, you did this for your children over and over again in the Old Testament. Let's flip over to Romans here. So back a few pages there to 154. All right, I'll read this here too. Page 154, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Having therefore been declared righteous by faith, let us have peace towards Yahweh, through our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, through whom also we have had our introduction by our faith unto this favor wherein we stand. And let us boast in hope of the glory of Yahweh. And not only so, but let us boast also in our tribulation. Like going, yeah, and I think about that, you know, as you go through and you listen to somebody who has come from the pits where they went through those things. I think about with Joseph. You think about hearing his story. If you could, back in those days, what happened to you again? You know, you got pushed into this. You got thrown into a well. And then you've been through a lot. And yes, I have. I absolutely have. But look where I am. And so our tribulation, when we go through that, there's a lot of times where you're like, I don't want the tribulation. Boy, wouldn't it be great if you could just sail straight through a nice, easy glide? You know, you think about a boat on a ocean, and the ocean's just like glass, and you're just zipping across it, versus the waves and the storms and the rain and the lightning that's coming down. You can't see where you're going, and you're fearing for your life that you're going to be, you know, tossed into a rock or something. Okay, where did I leave off at? Right, tribulation, middle of 3. And not only so, but let us boast also in our tribulation, knowing that our tribulation worketh out, endureth, and our endurance, a testing, and our testing hope, and our hope putteth not to shame, because the love of Yahweh hath been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that hath been given unto us. So again, with that, let me show you one of the things here that I kind of thought was neat, because a lot of times you hear weird things about testing and, you know, boy, I can't tell you how many times I've had to turn the radio station when a teaching comes on for Job. I'm just like going, I just got to switch. I can't do it. I cannot do it. Okay? It's Yahweh toying with, like, it's a gamble game, like a, you know, who cares about him type of a deal. And I'm like going, totally missing it. And I'm like going, so people use that. Well, Yahweh's going to test you. He's going to make things tough for you. You know, he's going to take one of your loved ones from you. He's going to do that to see how you handle it. And I'm like going, no, not at all. Okay? Here it is. Okay? Proof, experience, trial, approving trial, approved, tried character. Some translations will actually use it as character. Okay, I went a little bit too fast. We'll use it as character instead of testing. Okay, proving your character on how you're going to do it. So I see that with Yahweh, where as we're building up, it's almost like, you know, when you're lifting weights. Okay, when you guys are lifting weights, you don't just start off by pushing, you know, 300, 400 pounds, whatever you guys are up to nowadays. You work your way up to it. And what does it happen? You know, what is it? No pain, no gain, right? Okay? I look at that with Yahweh's word as well. No pain, no gain. Except it doesn't have to be the same kind of pain, but it means there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be things. And when you don't have those things, it's almost like, all right, get out there. I'm not looking for the tribulation, but it should be coming. And if it's not coming my way, I probably ought to get more engaged in the game and get more off the sideline towards it. Okay? And so it doesn't mean you jump right in the middle of a battle. You can gear yourself up and start doing it, but it's a progression. Desert to glory, to work our way through it. All right, next one here. A couple of the quotes I had that I thought were pretty good. If you've been reduced to Yahweh in Christ being your only hope, you're in good place. I'm like, yeah, that's it. You know, when we're weak, we're strong, right? Okay, so when we get to ourselves to where everything we hope and believe on and have faith through Yahweh in Christ, we're in a good place. Even if it seems like, but I got to pray for what I'm going to have for dinner today. I have nothing to feed my family. Like, hey, as long as you've been reduced to that, and that's where your hope is, you're going to be okay. You will be all right. Lord, use these desert days to deepen my faith in you. This was somebody, Wendy Pope. I don't know who she is, but when I was looking through some of the quotes, I thought, well, that's a good one there. Fits right in. The desert days. And so again, with that, in those times where we're in those periods that, you know, you look at the manna coming down, something that was a one-time deal in history. One-time deal. And I'm like going, how cool was that? And what did Yahweh do? One day, except for the day before the Sabbath. You had to go get it every day. And so, hey, why can't you just pour it out for the whole week? And I just go collect for the whole week. And you know, they go, nope, you're going to hunger for this, and you're going to thirst for this, and you're going to go out every day, except for the one day I tell you not to, and I'll give you that double portion. I'm like going, you know what, 2 weeks into that, and you're like going, the double portion comes right before the Sabbath? Boy, if that's not an instant faith builder. You're like going, yeah. You know, we look for the sun to come up. Yeah. Could you imagine that? You wake up and there's no manna? What are we going to do? We're going to eat sand? I mean, what's going to take place? And so, yeah, these people were reliant. And this is a proving. Yahweh is proving them. It's testing your character. Okay, that this is what you're going through. And so sometimes that happens, and sometimes we need to become that reliant to it. In the desert, don't give up. And so I've got a short little video I was going to play here that I saw. I love some of these inspirational things. I found quite a few of them. But I'm going to go ahead and play this one here.
How average I can be. Always been criticized about being average. But I want to tell you something. I stand here before you, before all of these people, not listening to those words, but telling myself every single day to shoot for the stars, to the best that I can be. Good enough isn't good enough if it can be better. And better isn't good enough if it can be best. That's when you hit rock bottom, remember this. While you're struggling, rock bottom can also be a great foundation on which to build and on which to grow. Person that gets up off the canvas and keeps growing, that's the person that will continue to grow their influence. This woman was the finest woman I'd ever seen in my life. We're at this dance, and I find out her name is Trina Williams from Lompoc, California. And we were all dancing, and we're just excited. And I decide in the middle of dancing with her that I would ask her for a phone number. The next day, we walked to Baskin and Robbins Ice Cream Parlor. My friends couldn't believe it. This has been 40 years ago, and my friends still can't believe it. We go on a second date. And a third day, and a fourth day. We go together for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. By now, Trina's a senior in college. So now it's time to propose. We get married. We have a few children. Our lives are great. One day, Trina finds a lump in her left breast. Breast cancer. 6 years after that diagnosis, me and my two little boys walked up to mommy's casket. And for 2 years, my heart didn't beat. If it wasn't for my faith in God, I wouldn't be standing here today. If it wasn't for those two little boys, there would have been no reason for which to go on. I was completely lost. That was rock bottom. You know what sustained me? The wisdom of a third grade dropout. We're at the casket in College Station, Texas. I'd never seen my dad cry, but this time I saw my dad cry. That was his daughter. Trina was his daughter, not his daughter-in-law. And I'm right behind my father about to see her for the last time on this earth. And my father shared three words with me that changed my life right there at the casket. It would be the last lesson he would ever teach me. He said, son, just stand. Just stand. You keep standing. You keep standing. No matter how rough the sea, you keep standing. And I'm not talking about just water. You keep standing. No matter what, you don't give up. I learned that lesson from a third grade dropout who was a cook at Cal Maritime. He said, boy, you keep standing. No matter what, you keep standing. No matter what, you don't give up. No matter what, you don't give up. No matter what, you don't give up. No matter what, you don't give up.
Listen to St. Paul again. He said, we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We've been persecuted, but we've not been forgotten. We've been struck down, but we're not knocked out. The Hagee translation reads it this way. Hell has thrown the kitchen sink at me, and I'm still on my feet. I'm fighting the good fight. I'm still enduring. I'm still standing. I will not bend, bow, or burn. Through Christ, you're looking at the winner. So I ask the thousands of you who are here and the millions of you who are listening around the world, have you been knocked down? I have a word from heaven today. Get up! Have you been knocked down by a bitter divorce? Get up! Have you been knocked down by the betrayal of a dear friend? Get up! Have you been knocked down by the death of someone that you love dearly? Get up! Have you been knocked down by fighting a deadly disease? Get up! Have you been knocked down by a financial crisis? Get up! Have you been knocked down by a business reversal that you couldn't stop? Get up! Have you been knocked down by a sudden tragedy that struck your family out of the blue like lightning out of heaven? The message from heaven is, get up, get up, give up, get up, never give up. Dust yourself off and get back in the race. Falling down does not make you a failure. Staying down makes you a failure.